Well, I need your prayers. Appreciate this opportunity to be here in the meeting. And I'm just going to tell you, my mind is just full. And I don't know where this will go or where the end of it will be. So I desire your prayers. I think of the account in the garden where Adam and Eve transgressed, and how the Lord drove them out of the garden. And the Lord made the comment about the tree of life. It wouldn't be right since they had transgressed, for them to be able to take and eat of the tree of life and live forever. So he put them out of the garden. I've heard it said that God had to go to plan B when that happened. I don't believe that. I don't believe God ever had to resort to a plan B. I believe I find in the scriptures where God had a plan set in place and established from the foundation of the world for man's salvation. Because as human beings are, had it not been Adam and Eve, it would have been someone else. He told them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He told them to have children. And no doubt with God giving to them choice, remember he gave them choice there in the garden. He said, everything is here that you need, just don't partake of this. So he set before them choice. He sets before every one of us choice. So in the process of time, I have to believe, had it not been Adam or Eve that transgressed, it would have been someone else. And that God had ordained and established a method, a way, to bring reconciliation to man at some point. Now, where I do scratch my head sometimes is I wonder, why did it take thousands of years for there to be a Christ? I don't know the answer to that, except I know that God that we serve is fully capable, all-knowing, all-sensing, all-seeing, all-power. God is fully capable of addressing every need and fixing everything that needed to be fixed. Those old patriarchs that the Scripture tells us about Abraham, it says that he had faith, he believed God. And while he didn't understand a lot of things, I feel quite sure, the Scripture tells us that his faith was counted to him as righteousness. So God that we serve, folks, is fully capable of addressing all of the needs that mankind had pre-Christ. All of those things that you and I may not understand, they're too big for me to be able to comprehend. And people will ask me questions about it, and I have to say, I don't know. But I know that God does. And God is able, folks. This same God that you and I serve today, we've talked about faith. What is faith? How much faith is enough faith? You ever ask yourself that question? Faith is a grain of mustard seed. That seems like just a little bit. But I ask myself sometimes, do I have enough faith? I get in a situation, I get on my face. I say, Lord, increase my faith. Yes. I need more faith. Will you help me? So this God that you and I serve, folks, is fully capable of opening up and making a way for people when there seemed to be no way. So if you ever think that God had to resort to plan B after Adam and Eve transgressed, remember that God had a plan in place, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That doesn't mean that Jesus was slain then. But you know, you look at that and I think that when Jesus hung on the cross, said he bore the sins of the world. So all the sins that had been committed beforehand. Do you know, folks, there is a God that sees and knows everything. All those old patriarchs that lay down their lives and believing that there was a God, not even knowing the end of it all. The Scripture tells us that they longed to see the day. But they didn't get to see the day. But they believed. And because of their belief, God was fully able to hold them and allow the blood of Jesus to reach back all the way to the beginning and all the way to the end, however long that span of time will be, that Jesus' blood, God's plan, was able to reach all of those things. My mind is full, what I tell you, my mind is full, and my mind runs out so soon. All of these things I think about. I lay in the bed sometimes and I roll these things over in my mind and I flop and I toss and I turn and I can't figure it all out. Because the Scripture says His ways are past tracing out. He's too big. Oh, I'm so thankful today, folks, that you and I have something. That when we're talking about this God, there's something that you and I have, a firm foundation, something that we can hold to that will carry us through. I think what Jesus said when, it's the fourth chapter of the book of John. He was talking to this woman. He said, John 4:22-21. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That word truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That word truth in the Greek comes from two words. One is the letter A, a negative particle. And the other word is letheo, or lanthanos. And one means covered, concealed, hidden. But you put the negative particle in front of that word, it means it's aletheo, alanthanos, not covered, not hidden, not concealed. Jesus, Philip came to him and said, Lord, will you show us the Father and we'll be satisfied? Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long time with you and you haven't seen the Father? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And I think about all of those things, how God, down through the ages of time, began to open up some of Himself, to reveal Himself to mankind. And it was obscure in many instances. I remember the account with Abraham and Isaac, how the Lord spoke to him and said, Abraham, Abraham, He said, here I am, Lord. He said, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, the one that I've given to you, and I want you to take him to the Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him there for a sacrifice. Do you remember what the Lord told Abraham? He said, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a son. Now, I want you to look up at the sky, Abraham, and you look at the stars. If you can count all those stars, name them if you can. Number them if you can. I'm going to give you as many. Your seed will be as many as the stars in the heaven. Abram, go look at the seashore. See all the grains of the sand that are by the seashore? I'm going to raise up seed after you, that just as many as the sand is by the seashore. That's how many will come after you. Now, I want you to go slay your son. Amen.
That's right.
How many times did God make effort to reveal some of Himself to mankind along the way?
Yes.
Oh, this wonderful God, folks, that you and I serve. I think of a word, evolution. And it's not in the sense that maybe it's thought of today so much. Because today, when you think of evolution, you hear the word evolution, you think about what's taught in the schools, about, things that mankind comes from this little amoebic-type cell, and he advanced from that and grew into some matter form of intelligence, and maybe he walked dragging his knuckles on the ground at one time, and then at some point he advanced beyond that stage to where he is today. That's not the type of evolution that I'm thinking of. The evolution that I'm thinking of is a definition that is unrolling or unfolding. And I think of how God has done just that thing for us today. He has unrolled and unfolded things before us along the way to give us a little bit of an indication of who He is and what He is. He said, no man's going to see me and live. You couldn't stand it. In this frail frame of flesh, we couldn't stand that. In a glorified body, yes, but not in this. So, our Lord has chosen things along the way to try to give us a little bit of a more of an understanding of who He is. Without fully revealing Himself, He gave to with Abraham and Isaac, I fully believe that the Lord God of all creation right there was unfolding.
Yes.
He was beginning to unfold and unroll before mankind. They couldn't see it. They didn't know all that God... We have the advantage of looking back because hindsight is 20/20. But Abraham, go take your son and take him to the mountain and slay him. And I wonder, did Abraham draw back at all from that? We don't read any account of the Scriptures. It says he had faith. He believed God. The Word tells us that he believed that if he were to slay his own son, that God would raise him up. I'll tell you, I say, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. I don't know if I could follow through with something like that. Lord, you said, and this is counterproductive to what you said. Am I going to be the one standing in the way of you fulfilling your covenant? Am I just moving on a whim? Is this what I heard you say? To take him and offer him as a sacrifice? The Scripture says he had faith. He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. I believe that was one example of God unrolling and unfolding a little bit of who he was. Just a little bit to let mankind see this is what is in the future. They weren't able to see all of it. They didn't understand it all. Nebuchadnezzar and the image. You remember the story? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Do you remember now didn't you hear that sound of the music? Yes, we heard it, King. Well, you know that when that sound plays, the music plays, you're supposed to fall down and worship that image? Yes, we heard that. Well, now I'm going to give you another chance. King, we understand. We heard. Now we want you to realize this. That we're not going to bow down and worship that image. All right, so be it. Played the music, they didn't fall down and worship, they were called to account. Threw them in the burning fiery furnace. He says, didn't we throw three?
Yes.
Then why is it I see a fourth?
Yes.
And what did he say about the fourth?
Like the Son of God.
Oh, this old king... Looking in here and saying, I see a fourth man that's walking with those three in the fire. And that fourth man looks like the Son of God. How would he know? I don't know. Those are things that I can't answer, except I know that there is a God. And I know that this God, folks, that you and I serve, is fully capable of managing the affairs of the creation that he established. He's fully capable. All right. John, the 16th chapter. Oh, pray for me. In the book of John, beautiful words from the Lord. Beginning with the 13th, some of the last hours of Jesus visiting with his disciples. Knowing that he's about to leave this world, he brings them in and shares some private revelation with them. My understanding is right. This would have happened on the Thursday before the Good Friday of his crucifixion. Just a few short hours. So you read 13, 14, 15, 16, those chapters in the book of John, and you realize there are some deep and passionate words that he shared with those men. And I've thought about that sometimes with my own children. I've got three children and I love my children. I love them dearly. They're married now and they've brought more into the fold. And my married children have had children and they've brought more into the fold. And I look at that and I think sometimes when I sit back in my home when they're all there and my heart swells with gratitude. Now I'm a blessed man. And I think of what things, if I knew that I only had tomorrow, If I knew that I only had today and tomorrow was the end of it, what would I try to tell my children? What would I try to say to them to gather them all together in a room and spend some time talking to them and say, I want you to understand this. And I would like for you to understand that. And I would be talking to them about things that would be so deep in my mind, it would probably go right over their heads. Some of it would. I've been there. I've been a child. I've been young. That's what Jesus was doing with the disciples. So he spoke to them and he talked to them. He shared with them. And then he says in the 16th chapter and the 12th verse, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I've got so much more to say. I've got so many more things to share. I've got so much more that I want you to understand, but I know that you just can't take it. The things that I have to share with you, they're so deep. They're so profound. There's so much to it that in the state you are right now, you just can't accept it. You can't receive it. You won't be able to comprehend it. You won't be able to understand. But what did he say? Howbeit. Howbeit. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Oh, folks, what a blessing. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Oh, I want to share something with you today. When I married my wife, when I courted her, I looked at her and I thought, oh, she's the woman. She's the one. I'm going to set my hat after her. And I was able to win her attention. I was able to win her affections. I was able to win her love. And I thought I understood love. I thought I knew what love was when I stood before the preacher that day at the altar and I said, I will, I do, oh yes, I will. I thought I understood love. And I did understand love to a degree. But we lived married for a few years. And we started having children. And I was with my wife. I was standing beside the bed with each one of the children that were born. And with each child that was born, when I hear the cry, I thought I understood love when I stood there with my wife that day. But love just took a deeper turn with me. When the child is brought forth and the child is laid in the mother's arms, on the mother's bosom, and I'm looking there at the woman that I married and the child that she just bore. And I hear the cries and I see the responses. I see the movement. And with each one of them that was born, there is a deeper attachment, a deeper feeling of love. And then come along, my children grow up and they get married. They choose companions. And now my children are having children. I am a blessed man. I have been able to be there, not by the bedside, but in very close proximity when my grandchildren have been born. I thought I understood love when I stood before the preacher at the altar that day. I thought I understood love when my children were being born and I could hold my children in my arms and look in their faces and sit in the rocking chair with them and read them Bible stories and sing. I thought I understood love until I was able to hold my grandchildren in my arms. You see what I'm talking about, folks? Jesus said, I've got so many things to say to you. I've got so much that I want to share with you, but you can't bear it now. You just can't understand it now. But when the Spirit of truth is come, He'll lead you into all of these things. The Word of God gives us different accounts about the mystery of godliness. The mystery of God. The unsearchable riches of Christ. To where you and I are not capable, folks, in our human abilities. We are not capable of understanding the depth of God's love and all that God has available to mankind. I can't no more fathom all that God has done from the very beginning to the very end of time, whenever that may be. And the ability of Christ's blood to cover all of those things, I can't comprehend all of that. But what I am learning is that as I endeavor to serve Him, and I endeavor to walk with Him, I am finding that this God is unrolling and unfolding before our eyes more of who He is. What a rich blessing that is, folks. What a wonderful thing that is. That this great God that you and I serve, He was never caught off guard. He was never taken by surprise. He didn't have to go to plan B. He already had everything established. It just took time for it to be revealed. I don't understand all the reasons why, but it did. And it works. So now I'm finding out that the more that I learn about God, the more I find out I don't know. The more I learn about God, the more I learn I don't know. And I'm not discouraged about that. Because when I lie on the bed and I think about these things, I say to myself, Lord, I don't know. I remember Brother Marty one time, Brother Marty Clevenger, asking a question. You ever step outside sometimes and look up in the sky at night and see all the stars and think, what is there to all of this? There is a great big God behind it all. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Read a couple of verses here, beginning in the third chapter, seventh verse beginning. Whereof I was made a minister, the Apostle Paul, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Are you challenged today? Are you challenged to try to understand more of who this God really is? Unsearchable doesn't mean that you can't search. Unsearchable means that you'll never find the end of it. You'll never be able to run it all the way. When I think that I have meditated on a subject, an item, a thought in the Scriptures, when I think that I have run that to its course, and I become satisfied in my mind that I found to the end of it, I find out later that I didn't. I find out later that God's got much, much more. Unsearchable riches of Christ. And then He says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, when Jesus came, I fully expect that that's about as close as mankind ever got to really seeing who God is. Because that's what He told Philip. And I expect that when Philip said that, I could just about hear the sigh in Jesus. Lord, if You'll show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Philip, have I been with you all this time and you haven't seen the Father? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Because it was God's design to reveal as much of Himself as He could through Jesus. All right. Colossians, first chapter. Colossians 1 down to verse 25. Apostle Paul again. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. You see, when we sell out to the Lord, we put ourselves in a position where God can begin to work with us. The Apostle Paul said here, I labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. I strive, I push, I work, because I find the more I understand about this, the more I want to know about this, and the more I find I know about this, the more I find I don't know about this, and it's like a circle, and I'm a curious person. My son got some of that too. When he was a little guy, riding down the road, going to camp meetings or wherever, Daddy, what about this? Daddy, what about that? Daddy, what? How does this work? And it seemed like when you answered one question, it bred another question. Oh, yeah. And finally, I would think, I don't know. I'm reeling. I'm through. I don't have any more. I don't have anything else to share. I'm a curious person. I look at some of these things and I think, I want to know. I want to know. I want to know about it. And I find out that there are some things that God has said in His Word, the secret things belong to Him. And that's just about more than I can take. Because the secret things do belong to Him, and He's not going to reveal those things. But I say, I want to know. I'm curious about it. Because I get anxious. I get fidgety. I get excited about it. I want to know. Mysteries. So Jesus said to the disciples, I've got a lot more to say, but you can't bear it now. But this is one thing that I know. Sister Karen McCraw has used scripture many times at home. I don't know just where this passage is. It's in the Bible. Then shall you know if you follow on to know. Yes. And you'll know if you follow on to know. Yes. So I say, Lord, give me patience. While I am here, I am not anxious to leave this world. I'm happy here. I've got a lot. I love life. I love watching my children. I love watching my grandchildren. I love watching people. I love to see them making headway and making progress. When they stumble, I'm sorry for them. But I also know that there is a God that made a plan for redemption from the foundation of the world that is able to reach to that need. So I pray for them. And there are times when you look around, you say, well, it should be nice not to have to deal with all of these things. All right? There are times when you feel that way. But when I steal away, I'm thankful. I say I'm a blessed man. As I just said to you a little bit ago, talking in the dining hall, to be able to hold my children in my arms, my grandchildren in my arms, to give love, to receive love, I'm a blessed man. Yes. We all are. Yes. So I'm not anxious to leave this world. I want to see all of this follow. When I come to this meeting, I come because I'm anxious about it and I want to see what's in it for me and for God's people. When I leave here and go several hours down the highway, I'll have a lot of things to roll around in my head, just me and the truck. But I am, in some ways, anxious for the day when all of the cloak will be pulled away. And I wonder sometimes how it will be to get inside of God's heaven. Yes. Will I look back over my own life? Will God show me in His love and His mercy? Will He point out to me the things that He saved me from? Yes. I've asked the question before. I ask it at home. I ask it there in Webb City. We had a revival meeting. I asked the question, how many times have you been saved since you got saved? I don't know how many times the Lord has saved me since I got saved. Because I don't know all the pitfalls that have been in my pathway that the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the love of God, the mystery of God, the unsearchable riches of Christ have spared me from. I don't know those things. And I sometimes wonder if part of my rejoicing around the throne of God in heaven will be because I come in the presence of an almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God that made a plan of salvation with a lamb slain from the foundation of the world that covered all those patriarchs, that Jesus' blood reached back and it reached forward as far back as needed to be. And I look at that and the Lord says to me, I saved you from yourself in these different areas of your life. And I will fall down on my face before the Lord saying, my Lord and my God, I had no idea that those things were around me so close because I couldn't see it. And Jesus said, I've got so much to say to you, but you just can't receive it now. And I wonder if that's what some of our rejoicing in eternity will be, is Lord, you saved me from this. And you saved me from this. And your power was able to cover me in my weakest moment. The moment that I was most vulnerable. The moment when I was trembling before you and trembling before the situation in fear. And I did not know which way to turn or which way to go. And I only knew to plead your mercy. And I come before the Almighty God. And He says to me, my love, my blood, my grace spared you at that moment when you didn't know what to do, where to turn, or even have a word to say. I was there. I worship you, Father. I worship you, Father. How many of those things will the Lord bring to our mind? I don't know how all that's going to work. I don't profess to stand here before you this afternoon and know all of these things. I just know there is a God. Amen. And I know that there are secret things that belong to Him. And I know that there are unsearchable riches that you can't find the end of it in time side of eternity. So in the book of Revelation, the 10th chapter, I believe this will be the culmination of it all. Revelation 10, verse 5. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and things that therein are on the earth, and the things that therein are in the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, folks, that's where I want to be. I want to be in the place to where when the mystery of God is finished. In other words, in my interpretation, if you will give me the liberty, when there is no more mystery to it. When I'm no longer veiled with this pitiful human frame. where I step off of this stage and I step into that place at the time of the judgment of God when I get the glorified body. I think of the time where Jesus prayed. He said, I pray for them. I want them, Father, to be able to behold my glory. Behold my glory. The glory that I had with you before the world was. Isn't that what the scripture says? The glory that I had before the world was. I'm praying for these men that they can behold my glory. Folks, I want to tell you, I'm living for that day. I'm living for that day, and I don't want to do it just because I'm a curiosity seeker. I want to do it because I love Him and I want to be there, but a part of me is so curious about it, I want to know what else is there. If this is such a blessing here, if I can enjoy so much of the riches of God here, and this is scratching the surface. This is just barely scratching the unsearchable riches to get on the other side, and there are no more veils. I have no doubt, no wonder why Jesus said you can't receive it now. Because your human frame can't handle it. Oh, but He said, I'm going to give you the Spirit.
Yes.
If you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, I want to tell you, you are missing out on some things.
That's right.
Because that's what Jesus said. There are certain things that I just cannot reveal to you. But when the Spirit comes,
yes,
and you get Him, then you'll have more.
Right.
More. So here we are. 3:34. Tuesday afternoon. We're waiting, aren't we? We don't know when the Lord's going to come receive us to Himself. We have no idea when He's going to call this world to an end. But there's one thing that I hope every one of us has a firm resolve. Lord, I want to make it. I want to get on the other side. And I want to be able to rejoice around the throne for all of those things that I did not even know, see, or understand. Remember, I said, I thought I knew what love was when I stood there at that altar that day. I thought I knew what love was when my firstborn was born. I thought I knew it when I had all three of my children. And then the other babies' grandchildren are born. To date, I have 5 grandsons. I never, ever, the thought of grandchildren, babies, holding babies in my arms, wasn't a very deep thought in my mind the day I stood there before the preacher and said, I do. It was this one. 2 of us. It's just us. But how much more God has unrolled and unfolded for us along the way. He will do the same for us in our spiritual walk. When we're married with Him and filled with His Spirit, you pray for me. I want to be true and faithful. I know the only way to get there is to make it all the way through. Pray for one another. And as I tell the folks at home, we've got to pray for ourselves. Amen. Then face to face. You know, I said my mind was so full. One more scripture. First Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Great is the mystery of godliness. Amen.